Please welcome Michael Kaplan.
Thank you, Jean. Jean didn't introduce herself. That's Jean Melter. Does everybody know that? My mother said to me when I was in high school, you know, you really get very different things from each one of your friends, which only now do I suspect was code for, I don't really like any of your friends. Or actually, knowing my mother, the message was, I don't think you really like any of your friends. There was something to that because I had these very narrowly constructed friendships. I had my baseball friend. I had my speech and debate friend. I had my old radio and nostalgia friend. Don't ask. And I had Steve, and Steve was my tumbleweed day camp friend. We worked at this summer camp together as junior counselors when we were 13 and 14. And then we also worked there as counselors when we were 18 and 19. That was our common denominator. Steve lived in a big old house in the Pacific Palisades. His father was the louvre drape king. I didn't really know what a louvre drape was. I assumed it covered a window, but his dad had invented it or sold a boatload of it, and so he was the louvre drape king. And in the time that I knew Steve, he got really into magic, and then he got really into photography, and then he got really into business school, and then he opened a louvre drape store. So, you know, he had a fair amount of energy and not a lot of imagination. And as you can imagine, you know, midway through college, we kind of drifted apart and, you know, stayed in touch just a little bit. But some years after college, I was pretty surprised to get a call from him. And he told me that he was getting married, that he'd met this woman named Sherry and they were getting married. It was going to be this big ass wedding at the Beverly Wilshire Hotel. And he needed me to be an usher at his wedding. And I could see that, I could tell in his voice that he was a little bit stressed. I imagine that, you know, for Sherry, the struggle was which friend was she going to avoid disappointing, and, you know, who was she going to have to leave out of the list of bridesmaids. But Steve was just trying to make his numbers. And, you know, I said yes, and the day of the wedding, I meet the three other ushers. There's his childhood friend from elementary school. There's the summer camp friend, that's me. There's his best friend from high school, and his favorite fraternity brother from college. And we're all there in tuxedos, and, you know, it's kind of like a blind date for four guys. You know, we're just trying to get comfortable with this. Now, there were three really memorable things that happened at this wedding, and I'll confess right now, this is not a bona fide story. This is like me pulling out my phone and going, hey, I went to Steve's wedding. But, you know, this happened in the 80s, and there were no smartphones, so I got to bring this stuff forward in slowly. The first thing was that after dinner, the father-in-law got up to read a poem that he had written for the married couple, which, you know, theoretically is a lovely idea, can be a really, really touching moment, but honest to God, this poem went for 18 minutes. And this man was not Allen Ginsberg. And, you know, at first it started off in kind of this very casual, jokey way where he's talking about, you know, the newlyweds going to Europe on their honeymoon for sightseeing and a little hoochie-coochie. And then in Rome, no doubt, Sherry will want to have a day going to Gucci. You know, just things like that. But then he does this pivot where now he's going to get very serious. It's like he's telling all of us, you know, come with me to profound land. And he recited a line. This happened 32 years ago. I cannot get my brain to wipe this line from the memory banks. And it went like this. The waves roll to the shore like the sands of time. The waves roll to the shore like the sands of time. And I don't want to be unnecessarily picky or cranky, but this line melted my head in so many ways. First of all, it flat out ruined poetry for me for years. I mean, I could be reading Auden or Whitman or Dickinson. It didn't matter. The father-in-law would suddenly pop up in the middle of the page. The waves roll to the shore like the sands of time. But, you know, part of what bothered me is if the waves are like the sands of time, what's happening on the beach with that sand? Is that sand supposed to be like the limpid pools of regret? And in which case, the water is now sand, and the sand is water, and we've inverted nature for some reason. Or are we having this sand on sand action, which is also kind of troubling? You know, or did he get nervous and accidentally reverse the line? And he meant to say, the sands of time trickle away like waves across the shore. I mean, that kind of works too. I would have loved to have gone up to him afterwards and just said, what did you mean with that? I kind of suspect years later that he was saying, the waves roll to the shore. We can't stop it. The sands of time trickle away. We can't stop it. My daughter grew up. She married the Louvre-draped prince. I can't stop that. But I've spent $5,000 on alcohol. For God's sakes, let's drink. And if he had said that, he would have been my hero instead of the bad poet who haunts me to this day. Okay, now the second thing was I ran into the owner of the summer camp, Tumbleweed Day Camp. I ran into Patty Tucker, who was always a fairly no-nonsense woman, and we're sitting there and we're chatting, and suddenly the band breaks into, you know, that memorable World War II hit, In the Mood, you know, and it goes ba da 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 da. Absolutely infectious. And I take the hands of my ex-boss and we begin to swing dance. And a little bit in, she gives me this tight lip smile and says, somebody's been drinking a little too much. And that was not what was happening. What was happening was that I was absolutely transported by the music. I mean, those opening notes are basically saying, this is fun, get up, dance, we can do this. And I bought into it. I believed it. But here's the thing about music. It can lift you, and it can move you, and it can touch your heart. but it cannot bestow swing dance moves upon you. You have to learn those. You have to take a class. And I got 30 seconds into this and realized that the music was not keeping up its side of the bargain and I didn't have a plan B. And now I'm flapping around like a fish at the bottom of the boat. And maybe I had been drinking a little too much. Okay. And finally, my favorite moment of the entire day, and this happened before the wedding itself, the four ushers come together. You know, you've got the childhood friend, you've got the summer camp friend, you've got the high school friend, you've got the fraternity brother. We're like the ages of man if no one lived past 23. And at that moment, Steve's father goes walking by, and he's just pleased as can be. He's glowing, his son's getting married, he's not paying for the wedding. And he looks at me with a big smile and says, "God, it's great to see the old gang back together." Thank you.